So you can cook this stuff, and it's pretty good cooked, but I've been a big fan of eating it raw lately. I've just been cutting it up, a little salt and pepper, just kind of like a cucumber, like you got right there.
Well, now I like it too, but I've made coleslaw with it, but I bet you could saute this with some olive oil like you did in them radishes, and that'd be good.
Probably would. With the coleslaw, you just shred it up.
Shred it up, makes good coleslaw.
That's good right
It's got a
there.
little bit more flavor to it than what your cabbage has got.
It does. That's one of the best tasting vegetables in the garden, I mean, right there.
And
That's
as always, you can't eat the leaves.
You
They
can't
are edible. We ain't done
eat the
that yet.
leaves.
We should try that. They come in purple and green.
That's about the perfect size right there. I mean, they get a little bigger than that, they can start to split
Start
on
splitting on you, yep. And what do you call that? Kohlrabi.
Kohlrabi. Anyways, hello folks, and welcome to the Row by Row Garden Show. Glad to have you with us tonight. I'm Travis.
And I'm Greg.
And we got a really good show planned tonight. We're going to talk about our garden plans for the year. We got a lot of exciting things going on. Planning what we're going to plant, where we're going to plant it, how much of it we're going to plant, all that good stuff. So we each brought our own little sketch of our garden, and we're going to go through that and kind of show you what we're planning on planting, at least in the spring. That's good.
So on these cold days, when you ain't got nothing to do and it's rainy outside, that's a good time to get you a ruler out and a piece of paper and sketch off and plan ahead what you're going to plant for this year and what you're going to do different.
That's right. And we're going to go over that. But before we do, let's get into a little bit what's going on around here. We got our peppers, tomatoes, and our eggplants, all our nightshades. We got those started in the greenhouse. Our tomatoes is coming up good. Peppers is starting to come up.
Yep. We got a little bit of a problem in the greenhouse. We got some mices in there, some rats
Mices
in there.
And mices?
I didn't realize until a couple days ago I was starting some stuff up there, and I caught something out of the corner of my eye, and I looked down there on the ground, and there was two mices looking at me. But I got something for them this afternoon. I'm gonna doctor them up a little later on today and take care of that issue.
You can't turn tank loose in there?
I don't want to turn tank loose. He'd tear more than mice up. But they've been eating on a pepper seed just a little bit, I understand.
Yeah. So I thought it was birds getting in
no,
there.
No, it's in mices.
For whatever reason, they ain't digging up any of the other seed. They ain't messing with the lettuce or anything else. They must be
Mexican mices.
They must have some Latin descent. They big fan of pepper seed. So we got those going. It won't be long before we start thinking about starting some okra and starting some watermelon transplants in the greenhouse too.
Yeah, watermelons don't take that long. I'm probably going to next week start that, and we'll get everything rock and rolling. Some of the tomatoes is coming up good. The peppers are a little slow, so things is rocking along. Today, we had 34, 35 degrees here. On the 7-day forecast, our lowest in the next 7 days is going to be 58 degrees.
It's supposed to warm up.
That's our lowest is going to be 58 degrees. So it's going to be 70s in the daytime, high 70s during the daytime. So we fixed to have us a warm spell. And I expect this afternoon, the fella might catch us cutting up some taters.
Very, very likely to catch us cutting up some taters. If it can dry out just a hair, I'm probably going to plant some taters on Sunday.
Me too.
So got tater planting coming up. You was talking about it warming up. And, you know, this time of year, everybody can't wait for it to get warm and plant. And I've always kind of thought, well, the reason things are growing so slow up till now is because of the it ain't been as warm. But I'm convinced that it's all about day length.
It's all about
but
day
once
length.
Those days start getting longer, man, I got some lettuce that's growing 2 or 3 inches a day.
Makes a big difference. Day length has a huge impact on weeds growing in your garden, weeds growing in the yard. It has a lot to do with things maturing and running along. It's more important than we think it is.
Yeah, that's when things really start to kick off. It seems like beets, everything. My shallots is coming up out of the ground. They're about this tall.
Yep, mine too.
And I needed them to come up because right after I planted them, we got a gully washer. And I couldn't get in there and wheel hook because I couldn't tell where my rows was because it flatten it out, but now that they're coming up, I can get in there. And
yeah, I actually got a wheel hoed mine yesterday, and they needed to. So what I'm going to do, and I've already hit them with some fertilizer one time, I'm fixing to hit them again because my onions is looking good, my elephant garlic is looking good, my English peas is a blooming looking good, so everything, my radishes are finishing up. So I'm going to get in there and hit some fertilizer the next day or two and get everything cleaned up and going good because I am getting spring fever. And as soon as these onions and things come off, I got big plans for that spot where they're at.
Big, big plans. My onions, I got some of them about a foot and a half tall.
Yeah, now, that's pretty tall.
They tall. Okay. They tall. I got to hit my shallots with some fertilizer as soon as I can get in there and cultivate it. Did you side dress yours?
One time, and I'm going to fix and do it again.
Okay. Let's talk about, before we get into our main topic, let's talk about a few products. We've shown these on the show before. And these are our Hoss gardening gloves. And folks, these is the best, most comfortable gardening gloves you will ever wear. Nice padding right here, like what you expect in a glove. But this side is kind of stretchy. So they fit real tight on your hands, give you that dexterity you need. Really good gloves. We've got these on the site where there's a little tab under our gardening tool that says gardening gear.
Gardening gear, and they come in two different colors.
Two different colors. We've got the red and the green and four different sizes. Great for women and men. Mm-hmm. Unisex gloves, and we've been using these things for 4 or 5 years now and really like them. So
yeah,
check those out.
We test them pretty hard. I like those. I've used a lot of different gloves in my time, goat skin, leather, and all that, and those right there are my favorite by all means.
They're easy to clean. You can wash them off. They'll dry out real easy. They don't get crusty and stiff when they get wet. Real nice. What else you got over there?
Well, we got a little something here that I've been working on for a while.
Little project,
and we got some peanut seed in. You see there, if you can see real close, the variety is called WIN. W-Y-N-N-E, WIN peanut. And I'm going to show you the backside here. You see there. Now, we're going to talk more on this later, mm-hmm. but I just want to give everybody just a little bit of heads up what we got here. Peanut seed, and these are your roasting and your boiling peanuts. These are the large kernels. These make a big peanut, and this is a highly bred, open pollinated variety. This variety, I believe, was bred up by the University of North Carolina or somewhere up North Carolina, and it's got a very high oil content to it, but it's disease resistant.
Really disease resistant.
And it makes these real nice big kernels. Now here's the key. I did a lot of the work on these right here, and we're one of the only companies I know out there that's got these peanuts untreated. A lot of times they'll treat these peanuts with neonicotinoids, and we don't believe in neonicotinoids, and I was able to acquire some of these seeds untreated. So we're proud to have them in here. If you ain't never grown no peanuts and you're thinking about it, or it's just kind of got your curiosity up, we got them in 1 pound and 5 pound containers, and we're probably the next couple of weeks going to do a pretty detailed show on these peanuts.
Yeah, so around here is a ton of commercial peanut production. But if you ever dig in them peanuts and eat them, you're going to be there a while before you get full.
There are peanut butter peanuts, and that's a different variety. They call them runners.
Yeah.
And they're small.
These are more your boiling peanuts. And boiled peanuts, I know in the north might not be a big deal, but around here, boiled peanuts is a big thing. In the summertime, you ain't got to drive 5 miles either way before you see somebody on the side of the road selling boiled peanuts.
And roasting peanuts, them kind that you buy at the ballpark that's roasted, them kinds you like to eat and crack up and sit there while you watch the ball game, same type for a peanut.
Yeah, and I'm excited about giving those a try.
It's not a flat running, they call it a semi-flat. It's not a real flat peanut, but it's not an upright either. So it's kind of in the middle there, the way the growth habitat of it.
Now peanuts do take...
Growing habit.
They do take about 140 days. So you need 5 to 6 months of warm weather. But definitely check those peanuts out there on the site with all of our other seeds there under the peanut category. All right, so this week we're talking about garden plan and garden layout. And we've talked about this a little bit on previous show, but now we're about to show kind of some real pen to paper kind of what we got planning. So this past weekend, we've talked about my new spot. We dug up all the pine trees, got them piled up, and we got out there with a harrow and was trying to level that out and cultivate it. And it was a rough go at first. It was bumpy.
Wet.
And we didn't, you even said when we first started, you said, I don't believe you're going to plant taters out here this year.
No, but it cut up a lot better than I anticipated.
We got that hair, we got it a little smoothed out, and we got the hair kind of digging down deep and got it going. Then you took that chisel plow, which helped out a lot, and got it ripped up.
Yep.
And
we got it looking good. I feel better about it now.
It looks real good. I feel real good about it. And I took the hair disc and straightened them out and got it nice and level. I got it kind of compacted down. One thing I've noticed, especially with all this wet weather this winter, if I till my soil and then we get a hard rain, it takes forever for it to dry out.
The soil is saturated more than it's been in many, many, many moons.
And my soil ain't quite as sandy as yours. It's a little darker dirt.
And it holds that moisture better.
It'll hold water a little more. So we got that area cultivated. Then we had to layer off. I'll show you a picture of what it looks like here. So it's a rectangular area where the actual gardening space is going to be is about 125 by 80. And we've talked about this before. If you got a garden space, regardless how big it is, don't try to farm it the whole thing this way or this way, because it's going to make your crop rotation almost impossible. So what you want to do is you want to split this thing up.
Bust it up in different sections is what we do.
Now, I had a little time starting out trying to square this plot off a little bit. I was trying to eyeball it, and I caught some sense into me and run me a string. Calculated that there, hypotenuse.
Hypotenuse, is that cosine?
No, that's just a hypotenuse for a right triangle.
Okay, what's cosine?
The cosine has to do with these other sides.
We'll leave that alone.
Yeah, well, anyway, so if you're squaring something off, calculate that hypotenuse and run your string right there, a string there and there, and it'll all square up just right nice for you. So we did that, and then we split her up.
So we got, so you got six plots that are equal.
Yes. So each of these squares, or they're almost squares, they're 30 by 35. And I like around the 40-foot size plot there. I like squares because corn pollination does good there. It's easier for me to figure up stuff. It seems to go better for pollination. So we got six squares that are equal size there. We've got our pathways here, which are 10 foot wide, which are a little wider than yours are. That gives me room to get my buggy and my tools in between there. And I'm really excited. I've been kind of dreaming about having...
Well, laying awake in the bed at night thinking
this garden layout. And I've still got the other plots that you've seen me do a lot of videos on. This is going to really help my rotation, allow me to do a lot more cover cropping. So... your garden plot is a similar design.
But it's a little different. I have more rectangles in mine, and I got mine busted up in different sizes. Now, my permanent right here, I got blueberries and asparagus in it, so this one stays the same all the time. These others I rotate around. As of right now, I got cover crops on all of them, with the exception of my potato one right here that I've already worked my mustard into, so I'm about ready for my taters. Is about perfect. The others have cover crops still on them that I'm fixing to start working off, incorporating into the soil. So I've really been concentrating on putting these legumes and these cereal grains and these rye and all in there to build my soil up, these mustards. Mm-hmm. And I've worked them in, and I'm getting really prepared for springtime.
As far as the pathways go, to touch on that again, now I'm probably gonna seed mine with some centipede grass there. Other people I've seen use the wood chips, and they do that at the expo. My problem with those is they don't stay in place really well.
They'll wash out on you pretty bad.
They'll wash out, and you have to constantly kind of rake them back into place. So I'm going to go with grass there and get me a little push mower I can work in between there. I don't want to really be blowing grass in my garden plots.
I've done that with mine. My walkways, I seeded them with our cedar with centipede grass, works perfect. My walkways are about 6 foot, and that, in hindsight, could have been probably a little bit larger. I'm not able to get my side-by-side, my mule in there, which is okay. But I have a little bit of problem with my lawnmower getting in there. the corners, the actual width of it's okay, but it's when you start making the turns, that 6 foot's a little tight on you.
Yeah, and tear up a little dirt because your turning radius is a little too tight. So, folks, regardless of, this is a kind of a proven design. We did it at his garden at the expo. Regardless of how much land you got, this here is about a quarter acre. But even if you just had a tenth of an acre or whatever, you can split this thing up into little pieces, and I promise you, you'll like it a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And be a lot more manageable.
It's easy on your rotation.
Easy on your rotation. Easy to, you ain't got to say, man, I got to go out there and wheel hoe that whole quarter acre this afternoon. You can say, well, I'm going to just do these taters today, and I'm going to do something else tomorrow.
Yep, same thing with water and fertilizing and all that. You can bust it up, and it makes it a lot more manageable.
Compartmentalize. That's right.
Mm-mm. You notice how I'm repeating these big words?
Yeah, and you're doing good.
So what I'm going to do this year, that's a little different, because I'm bad about trying something different every year, is I'm going to plant rattlesnake beans, which I've never planted before. I'm going to plant them on a trellis.
Rattlesnake beans.
I love a good flat bean, and I'm going to try them this time. Of course, in my same spot there beside it, I'm going to plant okra, which I plant every year, and I plant the jambalaya and the red burgundy. The reason I plant the two varieties is the jambalaya is my favorite for frying and stewing and things like that. However, the red burgundy is my go-to okra for pickling. It's the perfect variety, in my opinion, for pickling. So I grow those two different ones.
And to touch on the okra real quick, from our experiences, these two are pretty equally productive. The jambalaya will start making a little quicker, but once they get going, very productive two varieties of okra there.
And then I'm gonna move over in my next little spot here. I'm gonna plant winter squash and summer squash in this. And I'm going to do a little something different on my winter squash. Now, I got into growing these about 5 or 6 years ago. They've become one of my favorite things to grow. And I'm going to grow this one right here that I've never grown before. You see that there? It's called Blue Bayou. It's supposed to be really good to eat.
It's PM and DM resistant.
PM, powdery mildew, and DM,
downy
mildew. Well, that's good, ain't it? And it's 110 days, so I ain't got to worry about when I plant them into my summer squash with them cross-pollinating or nothing like that, because that won't happen. My summer squash will be on this side, and I'm going to plant the gold prize and the sunburst. We got some sunburst there.
So your summer squash.
Summer squash. Excuse me. This one and my regular yellow squash, I'm going to plant together in that right there. And these will come off real quick, 50 days, and sometimes I can grow them quicker than that. So these will come off in about half the time as well. That one is the winter squash will.
So the winter squash, we'll plant those a few weeks later. You got to wait it warms up pretty good. And then these will be harvested around July. But then they'll store. We keep them dry, and they'll store on into fall.
Yeah.
And it's easier for us to grow them in the spring than it is the fall.
Now, I'm not going to plant as many tomatoes this year because I have been planting them for years and we have got more put up than we can use. So I don't need to anticipate putting any up this year much. So I'm just going to trial me a little small spot with Bella Rosa, and I'm going to plant the Brickyard, and I'm going to plant that Mountain Glory side by side and just trial them three varieties next to one another. And I'm going to plant the Sun Gold, which I've never planted before. I'm not going to plant the Yellow Pear this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I move over to here, I'm gonna plant me a big spot of this Honey Select Sweet Corn. This is a new variety for me.
Right here?
Yep.
That's a triple sweet.
Triple sweet.
We're gonna give that a try there.
And then move over here, and I love to grow watermelons. I do it every year, but I've never grown the Moon Stars. I have grown Crimson Sweet for years. But my granddaddy grew these Moon Stars, and I'm familiar with them, so I'm going to switch up this year, and I'm going to grow the red. We got them in yellow and red. I'm going to grow the red variety of Moon Stars there. Then I'm going to move down here, and I have my potatoes here, and I have my cucumbers, which is my Calypso, and my pick, which is a pickle variety.
Right, so these two, these are our gynoecious cucumbers.
Gynoecious.
which produce almost all female flowers, and means they're really, really productive.
And if you've never planted these before, you would be absolutely stunned at how productive they are.
The only thing I would say about planting these is you got to be careful going out of town or on vacation.
Cause you'll have more than what you know
you
what
need to pick them about once every two or three
They'll
days.
Make a little bitty bush and just a bunches of pickles and so, cucumbers.
We got the slicer, which is a Stonewall, and then Calypso, which is the pickling variety.
Of course, I plant me some peppers. I like to grow me a few poblanos and sweet peppers and things like that. And you always got to have a habanero or two. And down here, I'm growing my potatoes, and there's my cucumbers there. So that pretty much winds me up of where I'm going to be on my spring planting. Now, keep in mind, a lot of this is going to come off pretty quick. And what I'll do there is go right behind it with me some zinnias and sunflowers.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as my potatoes
or
come off.
Or sweet taters.
And my sweet potatoes will be in June, July. Yeah, they'll come July. And I normally plant them first July. So my corn more likely to be done by them. I may go back behind my corn with my sweet potatoes. But I like to plant my zinnias and my sunflowers behind some of these early crops.
All right. Let's take a look at what we got slated. And I didn't include my four other plots because in those, I got onions, I got some collards, I got a lot of lettuces growing, and I'll probably let them areas rest once those things come off. So we're just going to talk about this new area right here. So we got our sweet corn up here in this top left corner, and I'm gonna grow this incredible variety. And I think this year I'm gonna squeeze in, I've been doing just two sweet corn plantings, one in spring and one in fall. I think I'm gonna try to boom, 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 and get three or four in.
You'll be pushing it. You get a lot of insect worm pressure on those later crops. I say you can get two in pretty easy. You're gonna be stretching on three and four.
But we're gonna try it. Up here, I got my peppers and my eggplant. I like to plant my kind of trellis stuff together. It makes it a little easier. And then I'm gonna do me some more of those rattlesnake pole beans. Those did really good for me last fall. Over here, I've got my summer squash and my cucumbers. And we're gonna do the spineless beauty, which is a zucchini. Where'd it go?
Right here.
And then the gold prize, which is a straight neck, and then the sunburst, which is really productive. We like that patty pan there. And then the cucumbers, like we mentioned, like he's doing the Stonewall and the Calypso. I like to have a slicer, and I like to have a pickling variety. Here we're gonna plant this whole plot here in taters. So we're gonna do several rows each variety, the Adirondack Blue, the Yukon Gold, the German Butterball, and the Red Norway.
I'm doing the same thing.
Down here, we're going to put our tomatoes, and I'm going to grow. I didn't grow as many tomatoes as I liked last year, and so I'm might think about doing a row of each, of Brickyard, Mountain Glory, and the Bella Rosa, and I usually do a row of cages with indeterminate tomatoes. So I might try that Jubilee, that yellow, bigger one we got, and some Sun Gold. And then I got my okra right there. And then on over here, on the other side, I got my winter squash. And ones I'm growing there.
Yes.
I've got the Small Wonder Spaghetti Squash.
Talk about that one just a minute.
So we've got a video on that one out there. If you go back sometime last year, I talked about those. I've been growing those for a couple years now. And they make a personal size spaghetti squash. They're about this big, good enough for two folks. And you want to talk about productive. I grew one 60-foot row last year and harvested over 200 fruits off of it. And they store real well. We put them on the rack just like we do our onions.
And we got an exclusive on those right there.
Yes. So you won't really find those hardly anywhere else. But talk about productive. Once they get going, there's not a lot of maintenance because the vines are spread out, kind of control your weeds for you. And then come June, July, when the plants start dying back, you just harvest them all at one time, put them underneath the barn.
90 days on days to maturity.
So that's an awesome, awesome spaghetti squash. And then this one here, which is an exclusive to us, is called this. It's a variety of kabocha squash called Hai, H-A-I. And we've grown some varieties of kabocha in the past, and kabocha is regarded as kind of one of the better tasting winter squashes out there. And this is a really nice variety, really nice yellow meat there.
95 days to maturity.
And we can grow that one side by side, the spaghetti squash, because those are two different species. We don't have to worry about cross-pollinating, and they're hybrids too. So that's what we're going to do. And all these plots, like I said, they're 30 by 35. And really looking forward to getting this area. I'm going to have to till it up one time before I plant, but then I should be able to wheel hoe it from there on out.
Yeah, and you need to get that pH check pretty quick, too.
That's right. You need to do some soil tests and get that checked. All right, let's get into our questions this week. And the first one comes from John Tenbarge. And he says he had a problem last year with tomatoes splitting. Anything he can do to prevent the splitting? We had that problem last year, too.
A lot of water last year. It was a very unusual year. Inadequate or inconsistent watering can cause cracking on tomatoes. Also, these certain varieties are more prone to cracking than they are others. These newer varieties are not near as prone to cracking as your old heirlooms are. So what I would say there is grow your variety that is the newer varieties that are bred to counteract this cracking. Also, watering. If you get rain like we got last year, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But be consistent with your watering, and that will help a lot with your cracking. If you're consistent with your watering and you get 2 weeks of just flooding, you're going to have some cracking problems. There ain't nothing we can do about it. But in a normal year, if you're consistent with that and you're laying it out there like you should be, it's going to help a lot if you grow a good variety.
Those bumpier heirloom tomatoes are a little more prone to split just because they're the way the shape is. Your more round hybrid ones are a little less prone.
Oh, yeah,
like
a lot less.
Okay.
So Chris Pope give us a question here. What's your favorite weaving trellis stake materials? I've been using half-inch conduit, but always looking for better options. Cheap and long-lasting are the keys to my heart. I hear you, Chris.
So he was talking about using the Florida weave on the tomatoes. We do it on peppers and eggplant, too. The way I do it is I use T-posts and I use wooden stakes. And I had somebody ask me the other day, where do you get wooden stakes from? We a lot of times get farmer scraps around here. There's plenty of farmers staking tomatoes and other stuff. So if you can find some farmer scraps, but those things can be fairly highly valued. I need to get me some of mine need to be replaced. They'll last you 2 or 3 years, the wooden stakes will. The T-posts are gonna last you forever.
Yeah, the best investment you can make there, and you can get these in any of the big box stores, Tractor Supply, any places like that, farm supply stores, is buy you some of these T-posts that you use to put up a fence. They'll last you a long, long time. They're not the cheapest option the first year, but if you take it over the period of years they'll last you, that's probably the cheapest option out there is the metal fence post.
Yeah, so well, the way I do it is I put a T-post about every 5 to 7 foot along the row, and then I put a wooden stake between each plant. Some people, I think you do a wooden stake every 2 plants, but you can vary it. I found between every 1 plant gives me a little more support. So T-post every, 5 or 7 feet keeps them wooden posts from leaning if they get, your soil gets real wet, and then a wooden post every one. That allows you to wrap around all of them and do that nice little weave there.
Yeah, I think that is a lot better than the conduit. Conduit don't seem like me to be very stable.
Yeah, it'll have a little flex in it. Yeah. So if you can find you some wooden stakes, go with that. You'll find yourself using those wooden stakes for a lot of things, laying off rows, all kind of different things. All right, well, that is going to do it for today. We're going to get back at shipping out all these orders and probably going to try to cut up some taters this afternoon.
Yep, I got it on my mind, big time.
Big time. You and Tank sitting down cutting up taters.
Yep, going to get my sharpening knife out, sharpen it, and just sit down there and have a tank time cutting up taters.
All right. So hope y'all have a great Valentine's Day out there, and we will see you next week.
Take care.